it is that time of the season where I'm sure we'll be doing a lot of coughing around here. A lot of coughing. So, but I just remind you, we do have hand sanitizer in the back. We have tissues all around as well. So with that baptism there, I think it was Stephen that lit a bulb, didn't he? So, well, we have three left. Awesome. And then we had the one this morning, so Jacob will be down here after service, welcoming him and congratulating him. And that'll put us at two. And we'll see God do what he's doing here in 25 baptisms in 2 years. So that's a good thing. A lot of churches, they don't baptize maybe one, maybe a year, maybe none, maybe three, two, whatever. They're all good baptisms, but it's amazing what God is doing here in a lot of different areas. And I'm thankful that you're a part of it as well. And but I do want to share with you today that we are, before I forget, I want you to put this in your brain. Today we are decorating the church for Christmas. So hopefully you can hang out and help a little bit. So we're doing that. Greatest time of the year, right? All right, awesome. So today I want to talk to you a little bit of, a lot of people today are trying to speak into your life. A lot of people are, especially when it comes to politics, especially when it comes to who Jesus is in relationships, in religion. A lot of people are trying to tell you what the truth is. And so today I want to share with you. So we're going to be in 2 Peter today. In chapter 2, and I want to share with you some things because there's a lot of some of the other denominations that are good denominations. We may vary a little bit on a few things. We may not always agree on everything, especially our methodology on how we do things. What we believe in the sense of how to do church. But the key is that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That he was born of a virgin birth, that he did die for the sins of the world. And that when he was buried, that he also was raised. But not everyone wants to believe in that. But also, for many, that's not even the most important thing, which that is the gospel in a short piece. That is the gospel. For mankind is sinful and needs, because of their sin, needs their sins atoned for, and Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for all sins. But you would think that would be what would be preached among so many. But what we're seeing is that's not even the reason why some even come and build churches. That they build them for other purposes. We're going to share some things. I do want to share, we're going to be in 2 Peter, but I want to share a couple of other scriptures. I want to read them because they're scattered throughout the Bible. I just have four here that I want to share, four different parts here. One is in Jeremiah 14:14. It says, "But the Lord said to me, these prophets are prophesying a lie in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them to speak to them. They are prophesying to you as a false vision, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own minds." Book of Matthew, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves." Acts 20:28 begins on this. He says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock that the Holy Spirit has appointed you to as overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and men will rise up from your own number with deviant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them." And 2 Timothy, which many of you are familiar with, 4. Verse 3 begins with this, "For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves, because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and turn aside to myths. Which now we find ourselves here in 2 Peter. It's what I want to talk to you this morning about false teachers, preachers. You'll hear the word false prophets in some of the reading this morning. But I want to share with you, because it is an important piece. You need to be careful who you let speak and who you listen to in preaching, who you let teach in your life. Not everyone has a godly intention. Not everyone has the purposes of the Holy Spirit in their intention. It is amazing how you can skim through the channels and be more flooded with almost like false preachers and teachers than there are good ones. You know why I kind of think that is? Because I think Jesus would rather have you in the church than watch in the church. I think he'd rather have you in the church doing something than just sitting there watching it on a tube in your pajamas and a cup of coffee. I'm not saying that those don't happen when you're sick. I don't think those, but that should not be the norm. It should not be the norm. The battlefield is not out there watching it. The battlefield is when you begin to serve, before you begin to service, who's coming into the doors where Satan is blinded, as we see blinding people, veiling the gospel, but God is bringing them in. So the battlefield is here, not on your couch. Because you want a cup of cocoa or a cup of coffee. America has gotten lazy in the church. And I'm talking about the worship part. I'm talking about the word. This is nothing new, what we're talking about. This was all the way back. The scriptures I was reading, there's even more than those. And we're camping in 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to talk about, what does this look like? I'm in home version this morning. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to cut this up in some pieces. But he says in verse 1, There were indeed false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and will bring swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved ways, and the way of truth will be maligned because of them. They will exploit you in their greed with made-up stories. Their condemnation, pronounced long ago, is not idle, and their destruction does not sleep. Scripture tells us here that there will always be false teachers until Jesus comes back. There's going to be false teachers. It's one of the tools that Satan uses to deter people away from Christ, from becoming a follower of Christ. Satan doesn't care if you join the church as long as you don't join the church. We need to belong to a local church, but there is the church, the bride. The only way to get in that is not by joining the church here, it's by joining Jesus in salvation. That's the only way, through membership. The sad part of this, it says many people will follow these false teachers. I went to a church one time where a person came up and said, I'm not going to be there on Sunday. I said, oh yeah, where are you going to be? I wasn't here at New Life, but where are you going to be? Where are you going? I'm going to Chicago. I'm going to not say names today because I don't want to, I'm just not going to say these names of people today. I'm just not going to get caught up into that today. I want to stay in the Word and not be caught up in these false preachers and teachers, but said, I have to go listen to so-and-so. I want to be a part of that because I need a healing and he can do it. Yeah. And put her hope in a man instead of the man. Put her hope in a ministry that was professing to be able to do miracles, and so she had to go somewhere to find Jesus, where now we can find Jesus where we are. He's not walking on the earth. They had to go find Jesus because he was in the flesh. God saw everything still. But when Jesus was walking, they would go to him for a miracle. Today we have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's power works through us. God does amazing things. We don't need to go find a person to lay hands on. We may need to find maybe someone that we need to learn something from, share something with. But it is amazing. False teachers have usually a big following. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But they criticize the truth. That's what they do. They criticize the truth. We see that here, that they criticize the truth, that they will use you for money. Let me tell you, when they talk about send in your dollar, send in, get your miracle water, just send in. So send in your seed money, send in this. This is a lot of prosperity preaching and teaching. A lot of you that is my age have heard a lot of this back in time. It's still there. It's just different, a little bit different, but that's still there. But they'll use you for your money. Listen, if they weren't making money on it, they wouldn't do it. People are gullible. People will write. They will listen. Listen, you sit there and you watch it long enough, and you're going to end up listening to it, and you're going to start believing it. Just because someone has a big church and thousands of followers doesn't make them a true man, a woman of God. Doesn't. The scripture says that they also, that God sees all that they do. And it says that their condemnation is pronounced long ago. So we know that God is going to take care of them. He's going to discipline them. There's going to be some things that we'll talk about here shortly as well. Then he goes in verse 13, it says, they will be paid back with harm. Now, there is a lot that I have skipped. If you are a reader, you need to read, because it does talk about some things about slandering angels and things like that. But we don't have time to get into that. But that's a really good stuff, because that would really take a while to get through. But I want to just remind you, be careful who you speak against. And even if you're right, doesn't mean you need to slander them. Let God do that. Let God do that. Verse 13, they will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. That's the teachers. They consider it a pleasure to carouse in broad daylight. They are spots and blemishes, delighting in their deceptions while they feast with you. So they consider it a pleasure what they do. There's no spiritual conscience. They have no spiritual conscience at all. At all. They don't see it. They don't see the whole church and the whole thing with Christ as the same as we do. They'll delight with it even when they're sitting with you. And I guarantee you, if they're sitting there eating with you, it's because they are wanting something from you. Yeah. But then it goes on in verse 14. They have eyes full of adultery. They never stop looking for sin. They seduce unstable people and have hearts trained in greed, children under a curse. This is a major piece here. They sin and they look to do more sin. They don't care. Their hearts have become seared. They don't care. They're out to do the one thing. Get the crowd, get the money, get those things. And all along, they're puppets of the darkness, leading people away from the truth. They're looking to con vulnerable people, especially older people. Especially older people. Older people maybe watch a lot more TV. I don't know. They're sitting there skimming. They watch them over and over, just listening to these guys tell them about, listen, you need to sow your, you need to give money, you need to give money. And these people are giving money. And some of them, they're giving money they don't have. They don't care. I've told a couple of people this in the past. They say, well, I give my tithe to so-and-so, or I give my tithe to this ministry that's on TV, or I give that one to this. I'm not saying all those ministries are wrong. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you this. When you have a problem, are they going to come visit you at your house? Are they going to visit you in the hospital? Are they going to do your dad and mom's funeral? No. No. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to show up for you. They're not going to show up for you. That's why, what do you think God has so many churches? Because one man in a big church can't do it all. Now, some of these churches, some good churches have maybe 12, 15 pastors and they do all these things. But the majority is small churches. So when there's funerals and sickness, that the pastors and the deacons and them can go out and visit when they need to visit and do what they need to do. Scripture says they lie to get what they want. It's a very important piece that's in this little section here. It says they are under a curse. Now, we don't have time, but if you can go back in Deuteronomy, you'll read some things, and God takes blessings and curses more serious than you and I ever thought about it. And I think God's Word is solid. God's Word, you probably believe that God's Word is solid. That if God talks about blessings and curses even then, that is still important even today. Even today. I pray that when my time comes, that my boys are around me, that I may bless them. Speak to whatever God wants to speak through me to them. I hope I get that opportunity. I ask God to give me that. Because I believe blessings and curses are very biblical and very, very they mean something. You got to quit. There are even some of us that believe in Jesus, but we have some different. Listen, I'm not saying names today. Listen, the Old Testament is important. Quit trying to hear, listen to people. If someone tells you the Old Testament is not important, turn it. Stop. Done. Over. The Old Testament is the purpose for the New Testament, and they mirror one another, and they're in unity, and they have unity. There is a strong spiritual darkness pulling, trying to pull even some of the best Christians away from the truth. But these people are under a curse. 15, they have gone astray by abandoning the straight path and having followed the path of Balaam and the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. Wow. It's like some of these people have learned a little bit about the Bible. They've learned about it. They've thought about it. They got it here. They may even got a little bit in the heart, but they ain't got it here. And they have gone astray and saw the wages and were pulled away. They may have turned toward Jesus, but their heart is not in it. They love the wages of wickedness and greed and power. But the scriptures are not done. It says these people are springs in verse 17 without water, mist driven by a storm. The gloom of darkness has been reserved for them by uttering boastful, empty words. They seduce with fleshly desires and debauchery. People who have barely escaped from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption, since people are enslaved to whatever defeats them. Did you hear that? That they seduce their listeners. Jesus doesn't seduce anyone. They are seducing their listeners. Giving the listeners what they want to hear. Telling them what they want to hear. Making promises that they cannot keep. Offering miracles. They're not miracles at all. But people keep turning toward them. They keep turning toward them all the time. If you make promises and you break them, that makes you a liar. You know who the father of lies is? Scripture tells us that that Satan is the father. He is the father of lies. He is the liar. People listen to them. People follow them. Here's what's happening. People want to hear something. People are looking kind of over hope. They want to hear something. They want to come in because either the music is amazing, because there is amazing singers. They want that. They want to come in and hear that they're okay. They want to come in. Some are coming in to hear that they're okay. Others are coming in saying, I'm going to get mine today. When you keep being told that it's all life is about you and it's about all those things, you're going to struggle. They're not, you know, it's funny when people are looking for a church. I begin to ask them sometimes, what are you looking for? Looking for something with the music. I'm looking for something for my kids. Very seldom do I hear, I need to hear the word. I need to know this biblically sound. I need to know that what I'm listening to is the word of God, not the word of so-and-so. What I like about this, I believe that all of us that are preachers here are still a work in progress. I hope that each one of the preachers, I believe in my heart that we are all work still in progress. But I also know in this church that scripture, there's usually a lot of scripture read in a service. I know some of these guys, and I've done it a few times. You can preach on one verse and go hit it, and it depends on what the verse is. You can hit it. You can do John 3:16 and fire it up and really get into that, really. But the majority of the time, we read a lot of scripture because scripture speaks louder than we do. Scripture is truth. So what I'm reading to you is a lot of scripture today, but that's what the churches need today. Not just, you know, here's my challenge for you. If you watch them on TV, first, see if they have a Bible on the pulpit. A lot of them don't. A lot of them, I know today, a lot of them use their iPads or whatever, and they've got them up there, and they're kind of hidden. But they're usually never even behind it, even looking at the scriptures. They're over here telling people what they want to hear. They're pulling them in. They're pulling them in on how awesome that you are. But a good godly church is praying that we've done it well in the last few months, that we've done it well in our past, saying there is a need to repent. No matter who you are. But people listen to them and people follow them. And the sad part is there's churches going, why can't we be like them? We're only running 30. We're only running 50. Why can't we be like those people over there? That's not what we need to say. Because we need to make sure we know what we're trying to tell our. We need to make sure that we are not getting caught up by the circus and all the lights and all the strings behind that are just toying with people. And the thing is why does Satan put so much into it? Because it is the most important piece is on the line. It is a human person's soul. Their whole being is on the line. So many people are not there to hear the word. They want to hear something. Whether it's true or not, whether it works or not, people just want to hear something that makes them feel good. I can tell you the day that I heard the day I received salvation, that message was not making me feel good. That message was convicting me. It's something that I needed. I needed more than myself. I needed more than what my parents could give me. I needed this man called Jesus Christ. But a sad part of this little section says they promise them freedom. They're captive to what these people are, what these false teachers and preachers are saying. They're captive and they listen to these promises of being free. But they themselves, who are even giving the message, are slaves to corruption themselves. And then it says, since people are enslaved to whatever defeats them, they're all a mess. The whole place is a mess. It's just a organized Beautiful on the outside, ugly internal, sinful mess. And people fall for beautiful things, good or bad. But the scriptures aren't done. He goes to verse 24. This is the more of the complicated piece. But he says, For if, having escaped the world's impurity through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in these things and are defeated, the last state is worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after knowing it, turn back from the holy command delivered to them. It happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to its vomit, and a washed sow returns hollowing in the mud. They're going back to their true nature. It is the most scariest place, I believe, to be as a human being. To hear the gospel, to actually know what it means, to jump in there and start doing things. And yet not totally receiving it. Because they chose to go back. Now that does not mean that godly men don't fall. It doesn't mean that godly women don't fall. It doesn't mean because you hear a preacher on TV, like I said, they're not all bad. But it doesn't mean that that a good godly Christian preacher that fall. It's hard not to say names. But I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. But when someone says, I've committed adultery in front of thousands of people, and half the congregation leaves, they were just as bad as the rest. I'm not protecting that individual. And I'm not saying he should, I don't think he should continue to be the preacher, in my opinion. That's my opinion. But my goodness, how many times, because that's what the problem is, we put people on a pedestal. Now we do because there's a part of that leaders and preachers are held at a higher accountability. That is true, that is scriptural, that God will judge us at a tougher level. But to walk out and say, I've heard this, I'm not ever going to church again. I almost assume sometimes that the person really even know Christ. I'm not making judgment, but there's a part of me that is making judgment. That is all up to them knowing of the Lord or not. That is between them and the Lord. But it shows you so quickly how a church can do so many things, and then this one thing happens. And he's got sin in his life, and he was screwing up, and he did all these things. Yes, he'd be accountable for all of that. But it amazes me how quick the church was to turn back and run, with so many of them saying, I'm never going back to church again. The ones that stayed were trying to figure out what is going on. Some were there, well, I want to hear the rest of this story. Some were saying, I knew it. But I can't not imagine that there were a few that were broken. And that's my church, man. That's my preacher. And I remember seeing some of the movement of the camera, and I saw people that were broken. I saw people that were crying. Some were even praying. And I know that pastor was removed. And yet, got a new pastor in there, and some of them just stuck it out. And he may never have gotten up to the plateau that they were before. And then, and the man rebuilds his ministry, and he's doing other things. And then I see some that go to prison. You see, here's what happens. When you go to some of these, you've got to be so careful. When you come into some of them, they'll meet you at the door. People meet you at the door, talking to you. They'll pick people out that they can size up. Hey, how you doing tonight? And I'm not doing so good. They'll listen for a story. And then they'll relay that back to the back, and that back to the goes to the preacher, where he's got an earpiece, and he hears what's going on. Or they get the prayer request outside there, and they're pulling them out, and they're writing on there what they look like and everything. And they'll say, you right there. You got this problem. And they'll con people. But I believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't need to. I mean, we find these things out, but just because it happened out there and what's happening behind there and all the evil that's going on, the Holy Spirit sees it all and can convict you in a room to say, and give you the spirit of discernment saying, you need to leave. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you everything, but the Holy Spirit with the spiritual, you need to get up and leave. And there's a part of you that think, man, I really like that music. Man, I really like how he's talking. But you need to get up and leave. And you do that because you know that it's not you, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. These people know the path, but they choose not to take it. I just have a couple more minutes I want to share with you. Listen, how to recognize the false teachers and preachers. I just shared a little bit, but many of them deny the saving power of Jesus. A lot of times Jesus isn't even mentioned. Listen to the sermon. So many times he's not even mentioned in the message. And the other part is they many of them speak against Jesus. Okay? Some will use the name of Jesus, but only use it because they just got to throw something in. Just for any of the doubters out there. They got to throw it in. And so they only do it when it benefits them. Listen, if all you want to talk about is the love of God, you're missing what the Scripture says. You're missing the other parts, that God is a God of love and mercy and grace, but he's also a God of wrath. Just can't just take the dessert all the time. Got to read the whole word. So some of them will take the name of Jesus and they'll do whatever for their purposes. But they don't. Another key is they don't use their Bible. They won't use their Bible. Contradiction of Scripture. They contradict Scripture. They use a verse and they twist the truth. And I've heard this because there was a moment, there's just some Scripture. I believe it's in Ezekiel. But it is a part there where there's a valley of decision. That's God's place. That was a whole piece on God, not on us making decisions. And I've seen how that was so twisted. I'm like, man, that is not as much as you think, man, I can use that. But you got to use what the truth is. This was God's decision, not a man's decision. So there's just a little piece there about how it's and everybody was jumping on it. And the place got all excited about it. Another thing is emotion is how we run, not scriptural. Emotions tops everything. Listen, there's nothing wrong with raising hands, getting excited, being in the house of the Lord, or whatever it is. But let me remind you, emotions is a part of what God has given to us to express our feelings and things. But listen, God is top. Emotions is just a part about something that we have. It's a good piece that we have, but we can't let it lead us. Holy Spirit leads us. It's all about you and your fortune and your pleasures. What we see. Nothing of sin or repentance. Love is the only thing they preach. They have a new word from God. I got a new word for you. I got a new word for you. Speaking for God. Whew. We just read them four scriptures I read in the front. That was the very first one. Be careful when someone comes up and says, God told me to tell you this. Well, God's got my number. I spend time talking to him. I spend time praying to him. Now, there are those moments. Some of you may understand, most of us may not. But there are some of those moments where God gives us a message to give to someone. And usually when you give a message, you are scared to death to give it. That is the key. You are scared to death to give it. And God usually gives you a sign with that, at least in my experience. Be careful when someone says, God told me to tell you this. God speaks from His Word so much, if we just pick it up and read it. And they gather crowds, weak in Bible knowledge, and they make promises that we read. They make promises of hope they cannot deliver. People come across the stage, so many of them, and they turn around, and here's the key. Here's the key to what I see. If you go back in Scripture, Jesus did very little healings on those things in the synagogues, but it was outside in the highways and the byways, outside the gates of the towns and in homes and places like that. If there are the people that are truly doing miracles, we are not hearing about them, but God's putting them in places where they need to be done, not for the glorification of just doing it. Looking for a crowd. We're going to do miracles tonight. We're all going to come to the church tonight. You're going to fill those buckets. And let me tell you, they don't have two baskets. They got buckets. 10 people carrying buckets. You know what they did? They just robbed a bunch of people. Every time. They robbed. What is it? Satan is a liar. He's a thief. Yeah. He comes to steal. He steals God's. And so many of them are believers. Very baby believers, listen, God expects you to grow in your walk with Him and not see the same place as you were 20 years ago. You ought to know where Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is. You ought to know what the first book of the Bible is, the last book of the Bible. That's good stuff. Then you start thinking, hey, if I open the middle of my Bible, it usually lands in the book of Psalms. Woo! And then you go, wow, what is this about the locusts, the book of Joel? He ate everything. You start getting in some meat. But no, people don't want to talk about that. Come on now, plant your seed. You give and you give to get. You give to get, to give, to go. No. And keep doing that. Your role. What is your role with false prophets and teachers? This is what you need to do. You need to read your Bible so you know the difference. Have a prayer life. You need to have a prayer life. In times of weakness, because there are times when we will get weak and doubt and brokenness, don't fall for their lies and promises. Go back to you know what is real. And it is you going in your private place with your Bible and some time with Jesus. You don't need to drive to Chicago for a healing. Or if I just go to this church, if I just go to that church. Now, there are times when God has you do certain things, but I'm just telling you, we need to spend time with God. Another one is, be very careful who you let speak into your life. Be very careful who you let preach into your life. You're in control of that. Be a part of a biblical teaching and a preaching church. Everyone needs a church to go to. Now, there are those who can't go, but that's different. You know what happens for those who can't go usually? Those who are in a hospital, they have people called chaplains. They're not sitting home watching on their couch TV. They have a chaplain. They're still part of their church. They give the tithes, whatever they want to give to the church, they give it to their church, and that church visits them on a regular basis. Church is still connected. They still have a church. And also, you listen to true believers. You listen, you have some people, you have some mentors in your life that are good and godly. But remember, you need to know the word yourself. They're not always, we even preachers are not, we're not perfect. We're never going to give you 100% best advice as much as we want to. We're never going to be able to do it because we are not God. So my conclusion for this is we are living in a time of false teachers and preachers, and it's going to get worse. They're going to get real good. And somewhere, sometime down the road, there's going to be a real, what we would call a miracle. But it's just darkness doing works to draw more people away from God. You see, the miracles drew people to Jesus. He did. When Jesus did miracles, it drew people to Jesus. And He loved doing the miracles. But when Jesus was going to the cross, the closer He got, the more they started peeling off, because people don't want the hard part. They don't want the tough part. They don't want that. They're expecting, I want all the good things. I want you to think about the people you listen to. There are some good names out there. There are some good. I can say some good names. I can say Adrian Rogers, though he's passed, is great. Criswell is good. J. Vernon McGee is good. He's been gone for a long time. He's good. Charles Stanley, man. Anybody that's a new believer, I say, let's start listening to Charles Stanley. He's really good. Michael Youssef, I'm getting a little differences a little bit. But he's good. He's solid. I like him. He's an Egyptian guy. But he loves Jesus. But there's a whole bunch more that I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I look at the crowds, and it breaks my heart that people would rather go over here. Let me tell you, Christianity is not a menu, folks. The menu is already given to you. You don't get to pick and choose. In fact, you shouldn't even pick and choose the church you go to. God should be, the Holy Spirit tells you, land here. Land here. Land here. Father, Lord, we talked about some things this morning. About false preachers and teachers, prophets. They do a lot of damage. Sometimes that damage is significant. I ask that you would give us a hearts, ears and eyes to hear what is the truth. And I pray during this time that you will only allow us to hear the truth and we may follow it. In Christ's name, amen.